If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast where we ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you.
And this is our very first episode with Crooked Media. Shout out, Crooked. Thanks for having us.
We're here.
You know, I feel like Petey Pablo and the song Freak a Leak. Shout out to Seagram's sure. Gin because I'm drinking it and they're paying me for it. Shout out to Crooked. We're making this podcast and they're paying us for it.
Yes. So we're so happy to be here and we're here.
Allison, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm toying with doing something.
Ooh, for once in your life.
I'm just doing a thing for the
Ooh,
first time.
Honestly, thrilling to even think about. Go ahead.
I've done this like in the past, but I'm considering hiring a service to come do a deep clean of my apartment.
Oh, cool. I'd like to say, like, put me in one of those suicide tubes, like a fire someone yeah. to come and put
I'm thinking
a pillow
about
over my
cryogenic
face.
Freezing. I don't know. Have you like done this before?
Yeah. I love that idea. You should absolutely do that.
I found this, my friend deep cleaned her apartment and I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. But I, you know, with my back, it's like it's not the best activity for me to pursue. And also
absolutely.
I don't know what the right products on the right surfaces are. And
oh yeah, whatever. No, you just immediately like strip
everything.
Laying it off the floor.
Leave marks on everything. But
I love that idea.
But so I found this place. I'm going to try and make an appointment. Like, they'll wash your walls.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know if they'll move my appliances, but they pretty much do they were for extra money, we'll reorganize all your cabinets and your fridge. And I'm like, yes, do it.
It's the kind of thing where if someone has a specialty, I would like to pay them to use those skills. As someone who, my only concern is if I hired someone to do something like that, they would come over and then immediately vomit seeing the state of my apartment, and then that's more work for them.
Right, and then they have to clean up the vomit that came from them seeing your stuff.
And is that fair?
It's not fair. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm thinking about hiring somebody to wash the walls of my home.
Well, I mean, it's real limited over there in beautiful New York City.
I mean, now that it's there's been so much construction next door. They built a whole new condo next door. So it's been just a lot of crap is in the air and thus getting in here. And I think there's just extra dust. And then obviously, cat of the pod, Riz, he sheds a little. He tracks litter places. It would be nice to just get a fresh start.
What a little freeloader. What a little dirtbag.
I know. I'm like, can you pick up a freelance job or something?
When I track litter around, it's fine because I'm paying the rent.
Well, you pay rent.
I'm allowed to do that. I'm allowed to shed
everywhere.
And I am shedding everywhere.
I mean, I also, I'm like, Riz sheds, but 85% of the hair in this apartment is mine. So, yeah. How are you? Your hair looks great.
Thank you. I'm trying, I've said it before, I'm trying to grow it out. I don't know what the plan is. I'm good, but I had something happen last night that I was like, boy, these, 2003, baby, 2003, oh no, 2023.
I was like, are you going back in time 20 years?
I mean, every day. I went to put on by this organizing festive body in LA called Damn Good Dyke Nights, and it's like a night of dancing. That is just indie, 2006, 2012.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's Mr.
So
Brightside.
Yeah,
so
the
fun.
Killers, Franz Ferdinand.
And, I think I'm entering a new era, Allison, because I did something I've never done before, which is literally take my shirt off and whip my shirt around my head like a helicopter. And, which I feel great about. That was really fun. And I also
want to be
clear, I was not wearing a good bra. This was not, also this is obviously a queer space and other people had their shirts off. So it wasn't it wasn't like I was at Cheesecake Factory, getting nuts. It was of the moment. It was of the vibe. But then I look over and there's someone taking photographs for the, to put it, look at this cool thing we do every month. And I was like, please do not put my medical bra. If anyone listening has huge boobs, you know what I'm talking about, where some of your bras look like they were issued by the state. They look like they were surgical or something. And so I'm wearing that. I have my unshaved armpits. And this is like a new thing for if you're a new listener here, if you're an old listener, truly an insane skin tag in my armpit that I like constantly forget. And then I'm like, if that is captured on film and put on Instagram. Oh, no, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Shit. Well, dang. Okay, so the movie we are doing this week, everyone, this is an oft-requested one. It is, of course, John Carpenter's They Live. Yes. And had you heard of this film? Or do you have any familiarity with the film, Allison?
I can't tell if I've heard of it before, like, the podcast. You know what I mean? Like, I think, like, I've heard, like, we've definitely talked about it. But I don't know if before this I really had heard about it.
And it seems important to note that this is, we're doing a month of political horror movies. As we've talked about, I think every horror movie is political because it relates
in
to
some way.
Unfortunately, I hate to say this, the personal is the political. I don't want to be, but here we are.
Oh boy, yeah.
But this is a classic 1988. It is a horror film in the sci-fi action genre. It's incredibly fun. Written and directed by John Carpenter. It's based on the 1963 short story 8 O'Clock in the Morning by Ray Nelson. And it stars Roddy Piper, who is a wrestler. And John Carpenter was inspired to cast him after seeing him at WrestleMania. And our other lead is Keith David, who you will remember from The Thing. And is in a million movies. He's an incredible character actor. I mean, he's in truly everything. Of course, I'm like, look at him, like Armageddon. There's something about Mary. Like 90s movies were so all over the place.
And also like actors, like resumes were all over the place. Like people, I feel like in the 90s, like you could be in an action movie and then like a big studio comedy and then a super serious like indie drama and then like a goofy sex horror. And like the same, and everybody would be like, oh, of course, you're in all those things. Whereas now I feel like people really are siloed into like these different genres that they like really I'm not going to see Florence Pugh in like a Marvel movie, mostly because I won't watch Marvel movies.
Florence Pugh was in a Marvel movie, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, she was
I don't, because I've never seen a Marvel movie.
She is. I want to say she's in Black Widow. Is that one of the movies? Sorry, this is, oh, God, hang on.
Not our genre.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't dislike them. I simply will never pursue seeing any Marvel film. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I have no, like, moral or artistic issue with them. It's just kind of, like, not for me. And then it kind of feels like there's too much to take on because they are all kind of connected.
Absolutely. I definitely feel, and I feel like this is the problem with these huge franchises, like, as they balloon. I kind of feel that, like, I love Star Wars. You know, like, I grew up with Star Wars. But now I feel like there are so many Star Wars TV shows. I'm tapped out. I'm tapping back out. Similar to Marvel.
Too much.
Too many movies. But that's fine, because if you like them, then that makes
sense. If you like it,
there's
so much for you.
For us, though, I do like how you picked the one actress that I absolutely know. She was in Black Widow, and I guess she's in some upcoming movie named Thunderbolts. Sure. We will never speak of this movie again. We have no connection to that whatsoever. But Keith David, phenomenal fucking actor. I absolutely love this movie. This is exactly what I wanted to see. And if you haven't listened to the pod before, we always like to have Allison watch the trailer for the film to get a little bit of the tone, a little bit of the flavor. What did you think of the trailer for They Live, Allison?
I mean, it really does have, like, everything you want. Like, the tone is so, like, the line, like, I came here to chew bubble gum and kick ass and I'm all out of bubble gum. Like, fuck, that's so good.
It's so fucking good.
It's so good. Just like to say bubble gum as like the writing choice. But then like the trailer is a lot of, it's like, it's very conspiratorial. It's like they, and it's like, that's a very fun setup. Cause I'm just like, well, who are they?
Exactly. It begs the question. Who are they?
Who are they? Well, they live. So we know that.
Yes, they do. And we always like to take a baseline scary of, the topic of scariness, where Allison is coming to the movie, with how scary do you find the concept of hidden alien overlords puppeting all of humanity?
Oh, extremely, but then also not, because there are like people who think that that's reality, and it's, you look and you're like, well, no. But the idea of it is like a scary idea.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, you know, we've talked about this in pop before. We as humans tend to we have to sort of create a fable around something that is actually pretty simple. For example, I think of like the Illuminati. It's like, oh, they're conspiring. No, it's just rich people. It's billionaires. They're not.
Yeah.
They're literally posting photos of themselves on their yachts right now. It's not. They're not dressing it up. We don't have to go the extra step or QAnon. Right. You know, it's like, yeah, you don't have political power, and it does feel horrible. Does that mean that, you know, there's hidden messages and
aliens
Trump's lizard
people and pedophile rings? Like, not really.
I mean, there are pedophile rings. And then I feel like, unfortunately, it's because we can't focus on reality. We can't fix the things that are real.
Yes.
We just have to create these obsessive fairy tales about it. But that being said, this is a horror movie and it is an allegory. And what I love about They Live is it's taking, like, sort of, it's just literalizing everything in a really fun sci-fi way where it's like, this is going to be easy for you to get, baby, and it's going to be very fun.
Oh, I love it.
And would you like to guess the twist in They Live?
Guess the twist.
I'm going to guess that somebody that we thought was human the whole time is actually an alien.
Okay, great.
I don't know who that's as much. Like, I mean, again, the trailer is like fabulous and fun, but I wouldn't say I have like a good sense of what's happening enough to guess like who's who and what the real surprise could be. But I do think like a reveal is in the mix. Is there like would you say that there's a real twist in this one?
Yes, there is. Okay. I would say it's not like a complete reveal, but there's definitely a moment where you're supposed to gasp toward the end.
Okay, I love that. We love to gasp.
We love to gasp, everybody. So we're going to get you gasping. I don't know about that, but I don't know why I said it like that. Let us begin. We're going to ruin John Carpenter's They Live. So we open in, of course, a train yard.
Obviously.
And we see there's a lot of drifters. And a lot of people credit as drifters. I feel like we don't use that term very often. This is a very drifter-based horror film.
Sure.
So, of course, we meet our main drifter. He's discredited as Nada. So I think he's supposed to be like, you know, he doesn't exist. He is nothing.
No one.
Yeah. He does have a pack, though, and he's arrived in a train yard, and he has to cross through it. And my first question is, how long do you think you could survive in a train yard, Allison? Like, if you had to cross a train yard, how?
13 minutes?
That's pretty good. Pretty good.
That's if I'm standing still for 12 of them.
I also said, I feel like Nada would absolutely sweep you off your feet. Not because Roddy Piper's your type, because I'm like, okay, he's blonde. He doesn't have a place to live. Okay.
I'm listening.
He's drifting.
This taking place in like, I know this is from the late 80s, but like, is it like current time or is it the future?
It is current time.
Okay.
So he has arrived in Los Angeles from parts unknown. At one point, he references Cleveland. So he has come to us, to L.A. as it exists in 1988, which unfortunately is pretty similar to how it exists now, as we'll sort of get into it. Mm. He goes to the unemployment office and, you know, files, and he said, I was just in Colorado. We lost 14 banks in 1 week. Of course.
Oh. So this is in 2008.
Right, exactly. Or this, I was like, oh, Silicon Valley Bank. Right, where every time this happens, I once again have to ask, oh, wait, what is the banking system? Why do we, I don't, like, what do you mean? How would it happen?
How do you lose a bank?
So I guess based on that, I guess it could be the near future, but the lived reality of everyone is
its current time to the movie being made.
Yeah, it's not like it's set in the future. Unfortunately, the unemployment office person tells him there's nothing available right now. And so he walks over into the city, and there's sort of a collection of men watching a street preacher. And the street preacher is sort of like hitting on the themes that a lot of street preachers hit on.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful.
and they have blinded us to the truth.
They're perched on top of us outside the limits of our sight. They are the owners of us. They have us. They control us. Then we cut to Mount Rushmore, and there's a lot of really phenomenal cuts where it's like, in case you didn't get it, we're going to literalize it at every point.
Okay, so it's just like hitting you over the head with the like line being drawn.
Absolutely.
I love that. I'm stupid. I need that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what's so – what I really enjoy about this movie is like this movie will not end. You'll think, huh, what I don't know if I know what exactly happened. You're going to get it.
I like that.
So that night he sleeps in an alley and he watches TV through the window of a nearby apartment. And there's an actress saying, sometimes when I watch TV, I stop being myself and I'm the star of a series or I have my own talk show. All I ever do is be famous and I never grow old and I never die. Which, of course, I'm like, well, that's TikTok, baby.
That's Los Angeles.
Democracy falls around us and we're doing TikTok dances, baby. Oh, and I'm doing that too. No judgment. Meanwhile, a helicopter circles the city. And the next day, Nada goes to a construction site. He has his own tools. And the foreman says, it's a union job. And there's a like sort of like a pointed shot of guys in tank tops laughing that seemed almost like a anti-union comment. But I wasn't trying to take it. Fortunately, sure. Nada is able to speak to the shop steward. He's able to fill in digging, of course.
Of course.
And he is watching Frank, Keith, David dig, and they're sort of having a moment of friendship.
Digging a hole?
Well, for a construction site. I imagine it will be filled with concrete or beams of some sort. We don't give a lot about what they're building, Allison, I'll be honest.
It doesn't really matter.
In case you were wondering. But at the end of the day, the foreman yells at Nod and says, do not sleep on the construction site. And Frank sees the exchange, so he comes over and says, hey, there's basically like a permanent encampment called Justiceville, and it's right next to a church that provides like hot food and showers. So if you need a place to stay, I'm going that way if you want me to show you. And because being a man is so difficult and you can't just be friends with a man, he's like,
right.
not only that, but then trails him all the way there. And
like they can't admit that they just want to go for a walk together and get something to eat. Like,
right. And like, it's like, oh, I also live here. So would you like to know someone who lives here? We can be friends, you know? But, you know, again, they're feeling each other out. And Frank says, I don't like nobody follow me unless I know why. And now it says, and I don't join up with anybody until I see where he's going. And that's all you need to be friends. You know what I mean? When you're two guys just being dudes, they get to Justiceville, which again is like tents and sort of like temporary sheds in a vacant lot. Yeah. But there are families, there are children there. You know, it's a pretty big, substantial area, which is L.A. You know, we have a huge unhoused population that the city is really committed to not, like, helping in any substantive way, seemingly. But, you know, he arrives there and Frank takes Nada around and introduces him to Gilbert, who helps run the soup kitchen. And he says, anything you need, he knows where to find it. And Gilbert said, okay, so you have tools. Awesome. You could help us fix the showers because we have showers built, but they're starting to cave in. So again, they're working together as a community. Like we're immediately like we're helping each other. We're having meals together. And Frank tells Nada, like, I have a wife and kids in Detroit. I could not get work. There's no work in Detroit. I haven't seen them for 6 months. At least here I can work construction. And I just, I live here because I send back all the money, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's saying, like, the steel mills have gone over, you know? And Frank says, and again, Silicon Valley Bank, he says, we give the steel mills a break when they need it. You know what they give themselves? Raises.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So this is about labor.
Yeah. Very, very easy to draw the line in how our financial industry functions. And actually any corporation, for that matter, in America.
Yeah. And, you know, Frank says, they closed one more factory. We should take a sledgehammer to one of their fancy foreign cars. And Nada's the one that kind of pushes back and said, you know, you should have more patience with life. And, you know, Frank kind of laughs at that and asks him, like, well, how are you going to make it through life? And we look out over downtown L.A. and Nada says, I believe in America. I follow the rules. Well, Allison, he's going to be breaking a couple of those rules there once he finds out what's underneath. What's underneath America. Everyone gathers around. There's one TV in the encampment, and the feed keeps cutting in. Like, somebody keeps hacking into the local news feed. And we cut from a commercial for press-on nails who use to eat food. Like, we see nails digging into cheese. And something about that, I do want to do that. Like, it looks so viscerally.
I'm having the opposite. I hate when there's anything. When my nails are on the longs. And, like, I never have. Like, do you ever do real long nails?
No, I would just scratch myself like a baby when you don't cut their nails.
Rip them off.
What about you?
But mine were recently, like, just on the long side of, like, a natural nail for me, which is, like, still, like, barely crossing over the, like, fingertip.
Right.
And it was just, like, any time I, like, touched something kind of soft, I was like, oh, this is such an irritating feeling.
Ooh, that's so interesting. I absolutely want to plunge my – I want really long nails, and I want to jab them each into a cube of cheese, having seen this.
I want the SNL parody commercial for corn chip nail tips because they're Fritos.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's like corn chip nail tips.
I absolutely want those and would eat those.
I love Fritos.
So the hacker hacks into the local news feed and says, our impulses are being redirected. We're living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. And one of the guy watching, again, who is credited as Drifter, says, oh my God, this hacker is the second time tonight. We just want to watch TV already. And the man on TV says, this started 8 months ago. Scientists discovered, and the feed, of course, cuts out. We don't find out what the scientists discovered.
Oh, boy.
But luckily, the hacker cuts back in and says, racial justice and human rights are not existent. We have established a repressive society, and we are their unwitting accomplices. And I want everyone to think about that, as we have been trying to think about that.
Absolutely.
It's just a good reminder, you know. Yep. Meanwhile, Nada looks up and sees the street preacher is sermonizing and he's mouthing along to the hacker. So that to him is like, okay, so this seems like maybe the hacker is connected to the people here. Like maybe they are working with him or part of him, you know. And unfortunately, the hacker says their attention to rule rests with the annihilation of consciousness. We've been lulled into a trance.
Okay.
The hacker cuts out and regularly scheduled programming cuts in. Nada looks over and sees the street preacher arguing with Gilbert, and then they both duck into the church.
Okay.
In the morning.
Suspicious?
Yes. In the morning, Nada and the rest of Justiceville, you know, they head off to find work for the day. And he sees Gilbert and says, looks like choir practice went pretty late, huh? But Gilbert brushes it off, obviously. It's like, you can't just admit that you're working with the hacker.
Obviously.
The hacker again gains control of the airwaves and warns, we are their cattle. We are being bred for slavery. He says the signal must be cut off at the source. And whenever he cuts in, everyone has extremely painful headaches, which is why they hate the hacker. They're okay. Like every time he breaks in the feed, everyone feels physically ill, you know.
It's kind of like when commercials are super, super loud when you're watching something that you have to have the volume all the way up because it's not sound mixed well.
Yes, I definitely think that's part of it. And the other part of it is, of course, there is a signal that we will find out about. He sees Gilbert run into the church, and so finally he follows him, and he hears a choir practice, but then when he gets there, he realizes they're just playing the sounds of a choir. They're just covering it up. Meanwhile,
There's
no choir. But there is, however, a makeshift lab, and on the wall is the graffiti that this should be the t-shirt is, they live, we sleep. It's like, that's fucking hardcore. I love it.
That is hardcore. Also, like, science and a church.
Science.
Message.
Can you even imagine? Can you even fathom it, Allison? But so he looks up to find cables going the wall, and we find Gilbert and Frank, and they're meeting with an interracial coalition of poor people that they are the ones hacking the TV stations. And it is sort of like, we do have to be doing that, don't we? You know, we do have to be doing, like, working together to,
yes,
you know, whether it's a political stunt, maybe it's a, you know what I mean, like, we got to be mixing it up in a little bit.
Yes, 100%.
But they're kind of arguing, like, should we start robbing the banks? Like, what should we be doing? What's the next step? And they're saying, should we take the shipment to the streets and just start handing it out? And of course, because this is a movie, Nada is listening and then trips backwards over some equipment.
Of course.
If you're spying in a movie, you will trip over a flower pot. Look behind you.
No question.
And he falls against the wall and he knocks, like, there's a hidden door in the wall.
Obviously.
And revealing boxes and boxes of things. And he tries to put the door back and turns on.
Of the shipment?
The shipment. Okay. The mysterious shipment, Allison.
Mysterious shipment.
And he slides the door back and turns around, and he's basically in the arms of the street preacher, who grabs him and says, look, you're a working man. It's the revolution. Let me show you. but not as too freaked out by the whole thing. He's like, I believe in America. I don't want to have any part of this. He runs out the door and the preacher says, the world may have blinded me. Because that's when I realized that the preacher is blind. I didn't realize that.
Oh, okay.
But the Lord has let me see. And Nada runs and runs as the helicopter circles the neighborhood. Gilbert runs out of the church and looks up with a pair of sunglasses on, Allison. Very special sunglasses.
What do they look like?
Like Ray-Bans, like black Ray-Bans. Like, they look good. Everyone who has them on, they're a great look.
Yeah.
And there are all these, like, whispers all over the encampment. Like, I've been hearing some weird stuff about, like, there's an epidemic of violence. There's some cult up in St. Anselmo. Like, there's some world end of the world cult. Like, things are bad. And also, like, in a way that feels recognizable. Frank watches Nada everyone's like sort of aware of what's happening as his helicopter circles, you know, and Nada takes a pair of binoculars and starts monitoring the church. And the helicopter, I think, is supposed to indicate that whoever they are has been tipped off to the goings on at the church.
So now they're surveilling?
Yes. Yeah, so he's surveilling the church and the church is being surveilled. Yeah. So everyone's surveilling each other.
So much surveilling.
And finally, there's too much surveillance. So Gilbert and the other members of the revolution grab the boxes out of that secret door and start running them to cars. And they're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. And Nada is interested. And Frank says, leave it alone. Like, we were both working people. They're planning some big thing. I have a job. Like, I plan on keeping it. I think you should do the same. And he says, I'm walking a white line. And Nada says, the white line's the middle of the road. That's the worst place to drive.
Wow.
Okay, that's fair. Wow. That's
some knowledge
absolutely
from
fair.
Nada.
Gilbert gets the street preacher, throws him in a car, and these other cars peel away right as the cops descend on the church and the encampment. Like, they, by the skin of their teeth, they're able to get
them. So they did make it out of there with, for this moment.
Yes. Unfortunately.
With the shipment?
They have not some. The full shipment. They have some. So, and the cops leap out. They're surrounding the church. One of the camp members is credited as Family Man and his daughter's Family Man's daughter. Everyone is terrified. So not only are the cops swarming the church, they literally bring a bulldozer and just bulldoze the encampment, which is also something, not exactly functions. In that way, but that is, I mean, like, people's encampments are constantly being broken
always.
Up. Their stuff is thrown away. It's horrible, obviously. And so it is this extremely long, distressing scene of a bulldozer just crushing everyone's belongings, like tearing everyone's tents
and the homes
are.
That they've been living in.
People are trying to bum rush the cops. Not bum rush. People are trying to rush the cops, and the cops are just knocking into the ground like nothing, you know? Meanwhile, Nada, again, he's just surveilling. He's a watcher until he sees Frank. And then he's like, my friendship with Frank is drawing me into this. Frank runs. The cops just start firing into the air. Everyone is screaming. There are kids there. They're terrified. Like, it's genuinely a scary moment. And everyone's
That's
forced to
terrifying.
Run up the embankment. Like, they're on the side of a hill, run up the embankment to try to escape the cops. The cops have managed to stop the cars that were leaving the church, and they are pulling the revolutionaries out, and the cops end up beating the hell out of the street preacher, who is swinging his cane and still going down fighting, screaming, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil," as they pummel him.
Like a blind preacher?
Yes.
You're just going to attack the shit out of it?
An elderly man. And so Nada grabs someone else in the camera member, and as the cops roll up, and they find refuge in a nearby abandoned building, as we hear cops, like, dragging members of this community to their paddy wagons, basically. And in the building, they find the family man and his daughter, and also a man who's getting high. It's like, whoa, did someone start World War III out there?
It would be terrifying to not know that's going on and be high and then all of a sudden see kind of like the melee and be like, oh, no.
It's just like, you just have to accept that. It's like, okay, I can't, whatever this is.
Okay, yeah.
In the morning, the whole place is rubble. It's been totally wiped out, except the TV is there, which then shows us like a glamorous, like, runway show. Again, this is the reality. We are seeing this fantasy. We are being sedated. We are asleep. The church has also was set on fire. So the windows are like broken out, burned out, and smoking. Nada walks
was
in.
Was the rest of their shipment still in the church?
Well, we don't know. We don't know. Okay. Our understanding is that, at least as of right now, it has been destroyed.
Okay.
Fortunately, Nada walks in and finds there's one box left. So there is one box of the shipment. And he sneaks out with it, because the cops are still in the area. And he takes it to a nearby alley, opens it. Allison, what is inside? It is sunglasses. It's a big old box of sunglasses.
Nice.
After all that, would you put the sunglasses on if this happened to you?
I mean, I think I would be so overcome with curiosity that, like, even, like, you know it's not going to go well. You know they're not going to be like, ooh, a new color I've never seen, or, like, I just look good. Like, you know something bad is going to happen, but, like, it would be impossible for me not to put. Would you put a pair on?
Oh, I absolutely. I'd be like, oh, first of all, these look cool as hell. Second of all, yes.
Classics.
So, of course, he hides the box in a garbage can. Huge mistake. Mistake. Even a mistake. Do not fucking hide precious cargo in the garbage. I'm begging everyone.
Don't do it.
He takes one pair and he walks around downtown Los Angeles and he puts the glasses on and he looks up. And this is a very iconic image, so I'm sure you have seen this before. He looks at the billboard for a computer company, and instead of the actual billboard, he sees it's a gray and white flat image, and it just says Obey.
Obey.
On another billboard, we see a gorgeous woman reclining on a beach. It's for taking a vacation in the Caribbean. It says marry and reproduce. Oh boy, that would hit me hard. I was like,
that
okay.
Is hard to hear.
And he pulls off the sunglasses, but of course, Allison, he knows the truth.
Right. And once you know.
Yeah. And there's like these incredible shots of Roddy Piper like pulling the glasses off and looking shocked over and over again and putting it back on that I fucking love. Like, yeah, dude, it's still happening. It wasn't just the one thing you looked at. I'm so sorry.
The 80s and 90s were like, filmmaking was heavy on sunglass acting.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, you know, you have this, but then you also like do a little, I guess this is audio, but kind of like, you know, when a babe walks by and guys would kind of like,
oh, hell yeah,
kind of tilt their glasses down to get a better look at her butt when she's rollerblading by. Like,
and
it was just such a wardrobe prop.
It also implies that there is something about sunglasses that you wouldn't be able to see a butt. Like, you have to be able to get the butt in the correct color to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Also, if you're younger than us, stop. But also, look up on Saturday Live. There's an ad for Schlitz Gay. We're just saying
that's the perfect encapsulation of what we're talking about.
Yeah, just sort of like the idea of like, whoa. And I feel like that, like, perhaps was homophobic at the time, and now as a queer person, I fully embrace it. That is a lot of ads at this point in Schlitz Gay.
Yeah.
So again, he's wandering around downtown and everything else. And so there's like a menswear sign that says no independent thought. He looks over and it's just like, stay asleep, you know, consume, submit, and then above it all, conform. Right. And that's what I love. It's like, it's just making it so literal is really satisfying.
Well, like, I sometimes need a hand holding through that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to be like, okay, it's very, like, because then moving forward as things are more complicated, you're like, but I know what the line is that we're kind of towing here.
Exactly. And John Carpenter has said, like, this is about Reaganomics. And again, we are not economic geniuses, but, you know, the way things are the way they are because they've been this way for a long time. Like, it's like, it's not like those policies didn't affect our current state of being in America. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things feel really relevant because they are relevant. You know, like, it's hard. It's easy to forget, at least for me, the impact of sort of individual people on history. And unfortunately, Reagan's impact is still on ours, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yep.
So we see, you know, Nada's walking down the street. Every magazine, every cigarette box, every newspaper, do not question authority, watch TV. And then Allison, he finally looks at a person's face, someone who's standing at the newspaper stand, and that person turns to him, and it reveals that he is an alien. He has a gray-blue skull for a face with glimmering gunmetal eyes and no nose and lips. And he says, "What's your problem? Allison, what the fuck would you do? What the fuck would you do?
What would you do?"
I think I'm getting the hell out of LA.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would take, like, a couple pairs of the glasses, or, like, you know, I would go back and see if my stash in the garbage hasn't been destroyed. But, like, take a couple pairs, because I'm going to want, like, whoever's with me to have the same access to, like, what reality is that I do. And just, like, start heading east or north or south. Just, I guess, not west, because you'll hit the ocean. But, like...
Okay. So you're choosing to be a coward. Why wouldn't you do what I do, Allison, which is stand up to the alien and be immediately killed? Why didn't you think of that? That is what I would do.
I think I'd be, like, frozen in... Like, I think I would say nothing and then, like that would be it.
Yeah, I would just piss my pants. Absolutely.
Yeah. At all times, I'm just like, I could pee. I think I'd get out of there, though, because, like, in my mind, it would be, like... This is just here. Like, I think my mind would have to make me think this is only happening here. And if I leave here, this won't be the reality I live in anymore. Even though that's, like, objectively not provable in this moment.
But also, like, living in LA, like, I absolutely could see someone be like, it seems like an LA thing. Like an LA thing. When I go back to Cleveland, it'll be fine.
Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of, like, getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of, like, having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. In this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So, like, if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're, like, in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Unfortunately, Nada is extremely bad at hiding his reaction. So the alien sees him react to him and is like, oh, can you see? Like, he didn't say that, but there's this moment of like, oh, shit, can this guy see me?
So the alien seem to know that he can recognize that it's an alien and not just, like, a seemingly regular guy on the street.
Yes. Okay. The alien pays for its magazine, which also it's like, is the alien just reading a magazine that just says obey and consume? I guess maybe that's when they get off on it or something.
Yeah, I guess.
And there's another excellent moment where the cashier is still holding the cash that the alien gave him and turns to Nada and says, are you going to pay for something? And on the money, it's just blank paper. And it says, this is your God. Hell yeah.
I love that.
Fuck, it's so good. And again, I think this is actually, too, like, what is really hitting me about this movie is that because of the internet, everything gets flattened. So I feel like sometimes mm-hmm. you see people, like, not understanding certain elements of film or TV that are, like, oh, intentionally, like, a little more obscure. And this is like, do you fucking get it, you fucking idiots? I love
money
it.
Money is your God. Capitalism is your religion. That's what we're talking. Like, it's just so, I love it. I love it. I want everything to be this clear.
And again, please listen to our podcast so we will be paid money. Because it is our God. I'm sorry. I wish
money
it wasn't.
Money is our God. Ruined is our heaven.
Yep. And heaven is under the ocean. And Allison will date Jesus when she dies.
Yes. Those things all make sense.
A nice Jewish man. Unfortunately, Nada, of course, like, what he realizes is not everyone is an alien. So there are, with his glasses on, he could see who is human and who is alien. And they're all sprinkled.
Was the cashier?
The cashier was a regular human man.
Okay.
And so he staggers into a grocery store. And again, it's like a lot of this is like just him being in different situations. Be like, oh no, the aliens are also here. And of course, there's this excellent shot. He stumbles into the grocery store and we see a politician alien in front of a huge sign that says obey, which I feel like is such an iconic image at this point.
Yes.
And the alien said, the feeling is definitely there. It's a new morning in America. Fresh, vital. We're optimistic. we don't need pessimism. And what's hard is like, that is absolutely, I do think we need optimism, but we don't need pessimism. And we need to address the things that would make people pessimistic, you know?
Yes.
And Nada starts laughing. He goes, it figures it'd be something like this. And a rich, snooty woman bumps him. And when he turns, she is an alien. And he just starts fucking roasting her. He says, you look like your head fell in the cheese dip back in 1957. Look, he's not a comedian, Allison. He's thinking on his feet.
That's pretty good. That's better than a lot of the crowd work videos I'm seeing these days.
Right. Actually, this man just found out there's aliens amongst us.
And he manages to make a cheese dip reference to the skull-headed lady. I am on board for his brand of humor.
Allison, you're not going to believe this. He starts shouting, and when everyone sort of turns to him, you know, you better believe he trips backwards over a potted plant again. This motherfucker's tripping everywhere.
Keep an eye on the ground.
Allison, when he looks up, the rich alien woman is talking into her wristwatch and says, I've got one that can see. And he looks around. All the aliens are talking to the wristwatch because they realize if he could see them, then we could sort of drop the
imagining. Okay, so you know what? We're not exactly like your neighbors.
And Nada screams, he doesn't scream. Nada says, I don't like this one bit. Hell yeah.
Agreed.
But unfortunately, yeah, like he has made himself known to the aliens, which is just about the worst thing you could possibly do. But then he keeps doing it. Like there's an alien woman on the street who's fixing her hair in a mirror, and he's like, it's like putting perfume on a pig. He is immediately assaulted by a cop who, along with his partner, throws him into an alley. Of course, the cop and his partner are aliens.
Okay.
And he says, where the
fuck? And the whole time, he still has the glasses on.
Yes. Exactly. He has the glasses on, so he's able to see who's an alien. And the cop says, where the fuck did you get those sunglasses? And Donna says, from the Tooth Fairy. Allison, the cop reaches down for his gun and says, let's go someplace quiet to talk this over. Obviously, they're just going to shoot him and take the sunglasses.
Obviously.
Luckily, you didn't hire Rowdy Roddy Piper because you were going to have some ass kicking in this fucking movie. So he's like, I could do that, and then he just fucking punches both cops out, and he grabs one of their guns, and when they both try to get up, he just shoots both of them.
Wow.
He grabs out of their cruiser, which is like blocking the alley, he grabs a shotgun and a fucking bandolier of bullets.
Wow.
And he heads to a bank.
Wild that would just be in there.
Yeah, again, I can't speak. If you're a cop, don't leave your shotgun loaded on a seat. But thank God they did in this case.
I mean, yes, for all of us.
Now, this is where it's hard, where it does seem like justice is achieved through what I would describe as a wild public shooting. So that is problematic, obviously. Yes. But this is a sci-fi action movie, so we're enjoying it with that in mind. And Roddy Piper walks into the bank and says, of course, the iconic line, which is also in the trailer.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Oh, iconic.
And of course, it's all filled with aliens in the bank, obviously. And the security guard fires at him. And then Nada's just emptying the shotgun into the bank as everyone runs around screaming.
It's so funny to imagine that aliens still have to run errands.
Right, they still have to go about their day.
They're still, like, cashing checks and, going to the grocery store. Like, if I'm an alien and I'm not human, I don't want to participate in all of the minutiae of this world.
Well, it's interesting because we kind of talk about, like, what analogy they use to understand the aliens. And I think that's a good point, but it also, I think this movie implies that the aliens are very human-like. They are like us, so they would
They're part of society in that way. Yeah.
Yeah. He sees an alien reporting in on his wristwatch, and Nada says, Mama, don't like tattletales, and just fucking blasts him. Allison, before the bullet hits him, the alien turns his wristwatch and then instantly disappears, teleports out of there. So not only do they have the wristwatch and they're hidden, they could also teleport.
Oh, my dream.
Nada runs out of the side entrance of the bank and he's spotted by, you guessed it, a drone. Why did we invent drones, Allison?
It's like we knew they were a bad idea. Like they were first around like as like a concept in scary things. And then we were like, we should have those in real life.
It's like, I can't outrun a human. I don't know why. I certainly can't outrun a drone.
No.
Fortunately, Nada still has, again, his bandolier. So he shoots the drone out of the sky, and a cop accosts him, but the cop is human. So Nada refuses to shoot him, and he says, put your fucking gun down and beat your feet. And he does. finally, we get a woman in this goddamn movie. We meet Holly, who's a well-dressed, a beautiful woman, who's walking through the parking garage next to the bank, and Nada carjacks her and forces her into the car. Mm-hmm. And she's driving. She's, of course, terrified because she doesn't know what's going on and doesn't know about the aliens. So as far as you know, a man wielding a fucking shotgun is telling her to drive, but not too fast.
Yes.
And just then, she sees all these cops coming to the bank. She realizes, oh, he tried to rob the bank. This guy is a fugitive, right? He says to her, take me to your place. And Holly's, of course, like, well, I'm assuming that means I'm going to be raped. So I'd rather not do that.
Yep.
He insists. And when they arrive, we see Holly's couple neighbors. This is insane. I look like the gay couple in Schlitz Gay. I didn't even remember that I wrote this. They're like, Holly. And like, but then they don't really, she's like, oh, she wave back. And then we don't see them again, which I think is so funny doing. It's like, oh my God, like Holly, she must have something going on with that guy because she's usually like very
friendly. They're like, and we've got plans. So like, let's just kind of keep going.
Well, we got the pool party.
We got the pool party.
Make 7-layer dip, bitch. And once they get inside, Nada kind of collapses and he takes off the sunglasses. He's like, wearing those sunglasses feels like a high, but the come down is so hard. And Holly says, okay. Again, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
He wears the sunglasses, is the only thing that's different that the aliens are revealed as aliens? Like, is anything else different about what he sees?
It is black and white. Who is alien, and then
and then all the messages.
Yeah, so everything is in black and white. We can see who is an alien, who is human. We can see the messaging behind all advertising, which is, of course, consume, submit, et cetera. And then he could see the drone. So the drone was not visible to humans outside of the glasses wear. Other than that,
Like
people are driving cars. Like, again, everything else is normal, which is funny.
So the things that are real in reality are still visible. It's just then also the layer of this alien.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. So Holly, of course, doesn't know any of this, but don't worry. Nada is frantically trying to tell her, which, as we've discussed in every horror movie, when you're too worked up and you try to explain what the horrifying that's happening, people will be like, okay, well, you seem like maybe you're just making this up or you're having some sort of episode. And he says, we're being controlled by beings. The glasses are the only way to see them. And Holly says, I absolutely believe you. Just do not hurt me. And he says, he's yelling at her. He's like, okay, you're fighting the forces of evil. If you make me put on the glasses, I'll put them on and then we'll do whatever. And I'll just say whatever you want me to say, I'll say. And so he kind of gives up and he was going to hand her the sunglasses, but he's like, oh, what's the point? Also, there are no aliens in her home, so it wouldn't matter. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't need them in there necessarily.
Yeah. And so they sort of sit in awkward silence and he's had a long day of kicking ass and he didn't even have any bubble gum. He apologizes for carjacking her and for evading her home and then sort of starts to ask her about her life. And he's like, well, I'm an assistant program director at Cable 54, the local news cable, the new channel. And he's like, oh, my God, the one that keeps getting hacked. And he runs over and it's like he's trying to like, oh, my God, like you work there. Like this has been going on. And in that moment when he runs over to the TV, Holly smashes him in the back of the head with a liquor bottle. Basically to, like, get him, like, to escape. And the force of it drives him forward and through her gigantic picture window. And because she does well for herself, she's on a hill in Los Angeles.
Oh my God.
Not only does he fly out the window, he flies down the hill and then tumbles. But Allison, his sunglasses landed in Holly's apartment. And she has already called the cops, being like, this guy fucking carjacked me.
So we
cannot go back for them.
But not all of the cops are aliens.
Not all the cops are aliens, but Allison, I'm sorry to say this, all the cops are cops.
Well, right.
Yes.
But not all the cops would know what those sunglasses necessarily.
No. Yeah, okay. I think the key.
But a lot of them probably.
Exactly, yeah. I think we're to think that not they wouldn't necessarily have that information, but regardless, he feels like he can't go back because he'll just be arrested for carjacking Holly, which he did do.
Yes.
Of course, he's doing horribly. He limps away, hides in a tunnel, and he's all broken up from the glass. And he's sort of limping over a bridge into the city. And he finally was like, I need to go see my friend. This is a movie about friendship, Allison. And he goes to find Frank. And he's like, oh my God, everyone fucking heard what you did at the bank. How many people did you kill? We can't go back here. Do not talk to me. And Nada says, they're not people. Frigg's like, I cannot tell you how many times I have a wife and children, dude. I can't. I get fucking involved with this.
I can't do this. Like, I can't do this.
Yeah, and Nada runs back. He's like, oh, I'll prove it to you. He runs back to the alley where the box with the rest of the glasses. Allison, I'm not going to fucking tell you. It's literally the back of a garbage truck 20 feet away.
Of course.
About to be crushed into, in the words of Bossup, smithereens.
Oh, yeah.
And we see Nada
big Bossup worm
climb into the truck, and he's frantically, and he finds one in intact pair.
Wow.
Before the garbage truck sort of dumps everything out and then drives away, which I don't think they would do, but again, it's LA, baby.
Yeah, I don't know how garbage is handled in any city at this point.
Frigg is a good person, and so he finds Nada, who's like literally playing in a pile of garbage holding a pair of sunglasses, and he gives him a week's worth of money in cash and says, you need to leave town. Here's this money, out of my friendship. And Nada's like, please, I'm begging you, just try on the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. And he's screaming at him, and Frigg just ends up punching him in the fucking face. Like, do not scream at me and tell me to do this. You are insane. Allison,
yeah, I get that.
They proceed to have the longest, slowest, most decadent fist fight you're ever going to see in a movie.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say kiss.
I wish. Believe me, you know that's why I wanted this to end.
Obviously.
And they're just creaming each other, but they're also, like, in a way that it feels realistic, which they keep taking breaks to catch their breath.
I do feel like a lot of fighting in movies is not quite accurate.
Yes.
When everything else in the movie feels like it's very accurate sometimes, like, and then it's just like, oh, suddenly you're both like incredible athletes.
Right, exactly. You're both John Wick, even though it's like you're just guys who work at a construction site. Like there's no reason. So this is like heavy punches.
I pick up a box and I'm like, well, that's it for the day.
And again, like you are not having a wrestler in this movie without a fucking fall down fight.
Physicality.
The scene is 5 minutes and 20 seconds long.
That's so
And allegedly, again, based on Wikipedia, they they staged parts of it, which is what they do with wrestling. It's like they staged, like, they planned out the face shots and the groin shots so nobody gets hurt. But then the rest is just them fucking riffing, which is incredible, and it's so good. They're yes-anding each
That's
other
great.
In the fight.
Are both of them wrestlers?
Keith David has narrated several WWE documentaries, but I don't believe he has fought as a wrestler, but he has the voice for it. He has that beautiful, silky voice. Mm-hmm. So they're just kicking each other's ass. Slowly, kind of lovingly, finally Nada collapses on the ground. He cannot fight anymore. And Frigg puts the sunglasses on his chest and says, fuck you. And he sort of leans against the wall. Allison, you think the fight's over? They start fighting again. It is
ballet. They keep fighting.
It is a ballet of masculinity, of masculine friendships, where they just are slowly punching each other in the lower back. It's so fucking good. Finally, Nada is able to force the glasses onto Frigg's face and force his head to look into the street. They immediately see two aliens who then see them and see Frigg's reaction, and then they immediately call it on their wristwatches. It's like, well, you should have told him about the wrist. Like, you didn't even give him some information.
Don't be obvious, because they're immediately going to, like, figure us out.
So Frigg is...
But it's like, how do you even, like, tell somebody, like, hey, just a heads up, you're going to put these sunglasses on, and suddenly some of the people in town are going to be aliens, and you're going to see a bunch of weird messages in black and white. So just, like, be chill about
that. Absolutely. Meanwhile, overhead, a flying saucer hovers. And that tells you're not the first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream. Allison, I got to ask... Who will survive?
Who will survive?
So who are we working with?
Okay. We have Nada. We have Frigg. We have Holly. I think those are our people
I'm
main
assuming
concern.
There is a body count of characters that we don't really know that is coming.
Yeah.
Some aliens and such.
Absolutely.
I'm going to guess... that Frigg dies, but Holly and Nada are alive at the end.
Okay.
And that maybe Frigg isn't who he seems.
Ooh, okay. I like that. Yeah.
Just a guess. I don't know. Well, just a guess.
I agree, because it is establishing him as the one trusted friend.
Mm-hmm. And, like, he just, like, the continual, like, I'm a family man. I have a family. They're in Detroit. Like, it's like, okay, well, prove it.
Nada tells Frigg, life's a bitch, and she's back in heat. A mantra if I ever heard one. And the best part is, like, now that they know, it's like, so then what do we do? What they do, Allison, and that's why I was like, oh, there is some element of it where you wanting them to kiss, there is there a little bit of that. They end up holing up at a seedy motel. And I love that they roll up nice. Covered in blood from kicking each other's ass, both wearing sunglasses, and Frank says, we'd like a room. And the guy's like, I bet you would. You've been working up an appetite, it looks like, gentlemen. And they get inside, they take off their sunglasses, and not a joke, ate love grand. And in my remake of this film, this is where they would make love, and it would be 5 minutes and 20 seconds to balance yes. out the fighting. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he warns Frank, you know, like, don't wear the glasses for too long. It starts to feel like there's a knife turning in your skull. Like, you feel horrible. Oof. And Frank starts asking the relevant questions, like, where are they from? What are they? What are we talking about?
Are these
just,
like, from Sunglass Hut? Like, where did you get these?
And then he's asking that of the aliens. How long have they been here? Like, what
right.
are they human? Like, I don't understand. And Nada says, I'll tell you what, they're not from Cleveland. And they kind of, like, yell at each other. And he says, we can't be the only people who have seen them. It's like, yeah, obviously everyone at the fucking church knows about that. Are those people even alive? Right. Where are they? They scattered us from each other intentionally, so we can't talk about this kind of thing. And Nada has, late night falls, and they, you know, they're talking, and Nada talks about his father turned mean when he started to grow up, and he started tearing him down. And at one point, he held a razor up to Nada's throat. And that's why he had to leave. That's why he became a drifter, is mm-hmm. because of horrific abuse from his father. Mm. And Frank says, is there something that, like, maybe that's what they're doing? You know, maybe they're here, they've always been here, and they're here specifically because they enjoy watching us. They want to watch us have a blade to our throat, you know? Mm-hmm. And Nada says, well, then there's going to be hell to pay because I ain't daddy's little boy anymore. I fucking love this movie.
This writing is so good.
So next day, Frank goes out for groceries, and on his way back in, he's accosted by Gilbert from the church. So at least we know Gilbert is still alive. And he says, there's going to be a meeting. The world needs a fucking wake-up call. We know that you have the sunglasses, and let's fucking do this. Essentially, they are planning an insurrection or an uprising. They arrive at the meeting house that night, and it's, you know, all the revolutionaries are there. And they're greeted by the woman who tells them, oh, actually, you could take the sunglasses off. We're all human in here. And look what we've got, a technological upgrade, Allison. They have contact lenses. And I was like, is it just like, there's something about that where it's just like, it'll just be easier. And they don't have glasses on for these shots.
Right. It's like, how many, you know, wardrobe's going to have to get so many pairs of sunglasses to make this movie work.
We see the hackers broadcast, and of course, you know, Gilbert sort of gives everything the lay of the land. Some of the cops are human, and like most people, they immediately sell out, you know, to the aliens. Mm-hmm. Their bank accounts get bigger, they start buying new houses. And then the hacker tells us that climate change not only is real, but it's intentional to acclimatize the planet for the aliens. They would prefer a warmer Earth.
Okay.
And Frank says, but like, why are they here to begin with? Like, what was the plan? And Gilbert says, oh, it's just free enterprise. The Earth is there. It's like, this is a developing planet. Mm-hmm. We are their third world to exploit. The aliens are colonizers.
Yes.
Right? And then when they're done, they'll deplete the planet and move on. Again, literalizing everything.
Yes.
So we understand what the fuck we're talking about. Yeah. And Gilbert brings everyone. There's a huge table of guns, and another revolutionary gives them a wristwatch that's how they'll be able to tune into the alien signal. But they aren't sure how to like instantly teleport. They haven't figured that part out. All these revolutionaries are ready to go fully ham on the aliens. But Gilbert's like, we only have a couple dozen people. Like, they will kill us. Like, we need more people. And by the way, everyone should have come to the meeting, which I also think is like a lot of like organizing. It's like, could people just come to the meeting? Okay, I'm out here organizing the alien uprising against the aliens. People could at least show up to the fucking meeting.
It's so crazy to think about organizing meetings, like large meetings of important information pre-phones.
Like, I know. I suppose I guess everyone just lived more locally. And they didn't live online in the way we do. But then online, like, the internet is also how people organize now.
Yes.
You know, in that way. But basically their plan is they are going to find the source of the signal. They don't know where it's broadcasting from, but they know it's from a single geographic location in LA. Mm-hmm. And once that signal is shut off, humans will be able to perceive the aliens. It's the constant. That's why you get a headache when you have the sunglasses on, because Basically, you're disrupting the similar. Yeah. They say, is it from one of the television stations? And Nada hears a woman saying, it's not from mine. We turn around. It's Holly. She's already part of the revolution. And Nada immediately falls in love with her.
Okay, great.
And that's what we all should be doing, is falling in love during the revolution, okay?
Yes, yes.
It'll take the edge off.
It really will.
Holly says, I thought I killed you. And Nada says, I thought you did too. And she starts to apologize. And then the wall fucking explodes in. It's the fucking cops. God. There's a raid.
Obviously.
They're just shooting into the building. Gilbert is shot. The family man is slaughtered. Holly barely makes it out along with Frank and Nada. It is a firefight between the revolutionaries and the cops. And in the melee, Holly gets separated, but Nada is desperate to find her. Mm-hmm. And Frank's like, just stay put. And he starts to figure out how to get the wristwatch working as they're hiding in an alley. Mm-hmm. And while he's futzing with it, finally it opens a portal, which sort of looks like a glowing purple manhole in the ground.
Nice.
And this is like when Wile E. Coyote paints like a... Oh, sorry. Yeah, he'll paint a tunnel.
When Roadrunner paints...
Well, I think the Wile E. Coyote paints, and then the Roadrunner can go through it.
Right, but then he ends cannot. Up hitting the side of the mountain.
And this is a Wile E. Coyote situation. Allison, would you jump into the portal, the alien portal to parts unknown? Would you do it?
How close is the gunfire to me?
Pretty gosh darn close.
Like, I feel like that's the motivating factor for me. Not like, ooh, a portal, but like, I don't know, I'm about to get shot. You may as well give it a whirl.
Yeah.
So I'd probably... I don't know. I wouldn't be the first one to jump in, but if somebody else did, I probably would.
I would realistically hesitate and then just be shot, and my body would fall through. And
of course.
So yes. I would have wasted the opportunity.
Yes, I'd be a corpse floating through several planes of existence.
So they leap into the portal, and they drop into the hallway of an underground bunker, which is part of an underground headquarters for the aliens. So we see them sneaking through the tunnels, and there's all these guards everywhere.
And it's Frank, Holly, and Nada?
It is Frank and Nada.
Okay.
We have been separated from Holly at this point.
Oh, no.
And we see the guards, and we also see the alien language, like, written, you know, sort of on various parts of the bunker. Luckily, they're still speaking English, which, sure.
Sure.
Allison, the guards are celebrating wiping out the revolutionaries, who they, of course, call terrorists. They follow the sounds of applause, and they walk into a beautiful, gigantic room. It's a beautiful gala. And the man welcomes us, says, welcome the human power elite. So it's not just for aliens, because there are aliens there. It is also for the humans who capitulated and are benefiting from being in allegiance with the aliens.
Good.
And the speaker promises by 2025, we'll have total control of the planet.
Oh, no. It's so soon.
And everyone's clapping. And someone claps Nada on the back, and it's the drifter from the camp who is all cleaned up. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that you guys have been recruited too. Isn't this awesome? All we have to do is work with the fucking aliens. I knew we had something in common. Do you want a tour of the place? And he takes them, and there's this incredible, walks in the hallway and says, look, basically this is like the port, I guess.
Okay.
And it is a what looks like a matte painting of space. And then people step into sort of a Star Trek teleporter with their luggage. Mm-hmm. So they literally have suitcases getting into it.
Having a suitcase is so funny.
And then they are beamed into space. Then Allison, he takes them to the signal room where the signal is being pumped out. It is Cable 54 News, where Holly works. It is through the news channel. And Nada's like, whoa, I'm so glad that we're working with the aliens now. Anyways, can we go inside? I've actually never seen a TV studio. And the guard's like, come on, we're not going to let anyone in there. Do you have your authorization cards? And he and Frank says, yeah, they're right here. And they just fucking start blowing the guards away.
Yes.
Just absolutely just firing at all these aliens. And the drifter's like, please don't hurt me. The signal is coming from the roof. And then he monologues. He's like, look, there's no countries anymore. There's no good guys. They run everything. Like, we could have it really good if we just help them.
What's the threat? We all sell out every day. Might as well be on the winning team.
Ew.
And just as a guard runs in, the drifter teleports his way away with his wristwatch.
Okay, so like humans can use the wristwatch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I literally wrote Allison instead of Nada. Nada and Frank gain access to the studio. They, of course, start firing. Meanwhile, Nada is still trying to find Holly. Like, he's like, basically, like, in the melee, I don't know where she is, you know? And but if she works here, then it makes sense that she would be here. So they're rounding the corner. They're asking the terrified staff members how to get to the roof. And Nada's like, also, have you seen Holly? She's the associate producer. Is she down here, maybe? But they're confronted again by armed guards, having to mow them all down. And then finally they find Holly just standing in a hallway. It's like, okay, well, it was convenient. Thank God you're here.
We found you.
And they grab her and they run up the last flight of stairs. And Nada runs up in front of them to the roof. Allison, Holly pulls a handgun out of her pocket and shoots Frank in the back of the head. Nada runs.
She's not a revolutionary.
No, she was a mole. She was a plant. And Nada runs over to shoot the satellite disc, which again, like that, I guess that is what I would do. I don't know how you dismantle a satellite signal.
No,
so
I would just start firing at the most high-tech stuff I can find near me.
And he shouts, he's like, Holly, Frank, I found it. And Holly, he hears, of course, the gun cock behind him. And she says, don't interfere. You can't win. And Nada drops his gun right as a helicopter throws its spotlight at them and says, you know, put down your weapon. You have 10 seconds. Holly says, come inside with me. Just come inside. You'll be a part of it with me. It's already happening. It's too late. And then he pulls a second gun. Nada pulls a second gun out of his sleeve and says, what I would say is the film's second most iconic line, fuck it. And just starts shooting the satellite dish. Fortunately, it short circuits. Unfortunately, Allison, they do immediately gun him down.
Oh, no.
The signal goes down all across the world, and everyone can see the aliens for who they are. And there's a phenomenal two little scenes at the end. There's a bar where all the human patrons turn to see an alien sitting in their midst. As alien versions of Siskel and Ebert chide from the screen, there's too much sex and violence in movies. Filmmakers like George Romero and John Carpenter have to show some restraint. And then, because we hadn't seen any titties, we hadn't had any sex in this movie. The last shot is a woman on top fucking some guy, and she looks down in horror and sees that he's an alien, and he says, what's wrong, baby? They live.
Does she kill him, or do we just see like that and then we go out?
You know, I don't know. I think probably she just jumps off and runs out, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But I think we're to think at least the humans will now be enabled to have to do an uprising.
Yes.
Hopefully. Or will we just be like, okay, well, I guess this is already happening, which is kind of more of our
speed. Understanding is that this was happening globally.
Yes. Yeah. So this is happening everywhere. Allison, what are some fatal mistakes you think some people may have made in They Live?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, I will say that a lot of the humans were doing their best to kind of fight the alien forces that they know. I guess I would have been less secretive with the rest of Justice City.
Justiceville.
Justiceburg. I wish it wasn't a secret, because I think if more people there had known, and especially, like, these people had the sunglasses, like, they could have made sure everybody was human, and also, like, seemingly everybody at that area would be human because of the power structure that exists. So, like, I don't know. I feel like more people, more awareness could have been a better, you know, they could have saved the glasses. They could have, like, I feel like that would have been helpful. Beyond that, I think everybody was doing a good job. I would say trusting Holly.
Yeah.
Without double checking. Like, I don't think I would, like, trust anyone without, like, double checking with the glasses that they're not. But wait, she did.
She was a human. Yeah, she was a human collaborator. So he wouldn't have been able to tell.
There's kind of no way to know that she was going to.
Yeah, really the only mistake, and this is a huge mistake, and we ask you not to make it, is don't put any precious item in the garbage to hide it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
That would be the big. And keep an eye on what's going on behind you if you're sneaking around so you don't trip over a flower pot and give up your, blow up your spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, I think everyone did the best they could. And to the revolutionaries' point, it worked. They were able to do it. Unfortunately, they all died in the process, but it did enable a new era of reality and understanding to sweep the globe. I think that's, you know, there's a positive ending, at least.
I think so.
You know, if you're going to be gunned down by aliens, you can at least feel good going out, you know?
Yeah. did the most.
And then finally, where would you rate the film on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
Now, again, the spooky scale being a measurement purely of spooky scaries and not of enjoyment and fun and quality of the film. I do think, like, the destruction of the sheds and the encampment. That's the word I was looking for. The destruction of the encampment definitely seems just, like, that's horrific and, like, also, like, doubly horrific knowing, you know, how our culture and specifically L.A. treats where unhoused people are living and what they do. So, like, that's just scary because it's horrific. The aliens are in the trailer, so I saw they weren't, like, super frightening as beings. I would say that this, like, from a spooky, scary standpoint, is a 4.
Okay, great.
But from an enjoyment, I mean, just, like, very fun. Love a one-to-one, very clear allegory.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And so, like, enjoyment, a 10.
I would say I'm going to give it a 4 as well. Those elements are deeply fucked up and shot in a way to be so. Like, it is scary and awful and overwhelming. I think fundamentally this is not going to be his scariest film, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. And look, he does action so well. He could do it all. The writing was incredible. And yeah, like, you hire a wrestler, you're going to play to his strengths. And this was done impeccably, as far as I'm concerned. But I'll say 4. I'll say 4. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We hope that you enjoyed yourself. And
keep an eye out for aliens.
Keep an eye out for aliens. And if you enjoyed this, please let us know. If you didn't, I mean, let us know if you want. We're still going to do it. I mean, like,
we're going to keep doing it.
We're already doing it. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
You know?
Right.
What do you want from us?
The wheels are in motion.
But yeah, until we talk to you next time, and you could talk back to us. We can't hear you, but that's fine, I think. Please, until then, keep it spooky. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Siegelin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolati. Follow at Ruined Podcast on Instagram and Twitter for show updates, and at The Radio Point and at Crooked Media for more original content.